Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Welcome to another edition of the Talking Metal Podcast, home of all things hard rock and heavy metal. I'm Mark Striegel, host and producer of this show since 2005. Now, let's get things started with the Talking Metal theme song, written by Rob Halford, Metal Mike, and Roy Z.
Hey guys, it's Mark Striegel of the Talking Metal Podcast. Welcome to another edition of the show. Today we have the one and only James Durbin on the show. Now, if you don't remember James, you most likely saw him. 55 million viewers were watching American Idol when he was on it. Yeah, that's per episode. I mean, that's just insane. I mean, what is there, like 500 million in the country or something? I mean, that's an insane number of people. And they watched this guy, and he had a great voice, and he did something really cool for heavy metal when he was on American Idol. He brought heavy metal and hard rock to the masses, and I just think that that's an amazing thing, and he single-handedly did this. You know, he brought Judas Priest to American Idol, and whether you like American Idol or you didn't like American Idol, what James did was a cool thing and a good thing for the heavy metal community. He brought Zakk Wylde to American Idol. He played, you know, Another Thing Coming, Breaking the Law, Heavy Metal by Sammy Hagar. He played that with Zakk Wylde. He did a lot of good things to put heavy metal out there in the mainstream when he was on American Idol back in 2011. So having said that, he's continued his career. And he's out there touring in a van that sometimes doesn't run so well. We're going to hear about that. And he's doing things, you know, on a somewhat indie level, and I have a lot of respect for him. And I think his new record that was just released, Riot on Sunset, is very strong. We're going to hear a little bit from the record, and then we're going to hear from James. So stay tuned for that. Did want to mention I was at the sold-out Guns N' Roses concert on Saturday night here in New Jersey at what we used to call the Meadowlands. We used to call it Giant Stadium. It's now MetLife Stadium. And it was absolutely insane. I rarely am at a show where over 80,000 tickets have been sold. This show was sold out. Giant Stadium holds about 82,000 people. I don't know if that includes the people on the floors, because so it could have been 80 87,000. Could have been 90,000 as far as I know. I don't know. The place was sold out. It was absolutely insane. I mean, just one of the biggest concerts I've ever been to. I saw McCartney at Giant Stadium. I think he sold it out barely. Maybe not. I don't really remember. I do remember it was full. I saw U2 there. That was sold out. I saw the Stones there. That, I believe, was sold out. Saw Metallica at Giant Stadium. That was not sold out. Saw Ozfest at Giant Stadium with a partially reunited Sabbath before they got Bill Ward back. That first initiation of Sabbath getting back together didn't include Bill Ward. He later came into the picture. So it's kind of funny they're going out without Bill Ward, and when they first reunited, it was also without Bill Ward. I guess it's a whole nother conversation, but that was not sold out. I remember that not being really well attended for some reason in the big stadium, maybe 20,000-30,000 people, which when you play to 20,000 or 30,000 people, that's an amazing crowd by any standard, much more than most arenas. However, when you're playing in a stadium, sometimes it doesn't really look good because half the place is empty, you know. But Guns delivered. They were just fantastic. Another band I saw there, by the way, was Metallica. I remember seeing Metallica at Giant Stadium. But yeah, Guns N' Roses sold out at Giant Stadium. Just a great night. They did go on later than I was expecting. I'd been hearing they were going on earlier. They went on about 10:05. They went on about 10:05 and played until about 12:55. So it was a long night, late night, but it was a lot of fun. Guns N' Roses sounding great. And just, really, no pun intended, a once-in-a-lifetime thing to see those guys, especially in front of a crowd like that. So if you have a chance to see Guns N' Roses on this stadium tour, I highly recommend it. All right, so without further ado, let's get into a little new music by James Durbin. Guys, after the song Smackdown, it's called, we'll hear from James Durbin. And the one thing that's weird about this is the interview ends abruptly. He's telling me about how he got Zakk Wylde on American Idol, and the phone cut out. I could not get him back on the line. There were technical issues. We were trying, but he was driving, and he was in a no cell phone area. So there you go. Enjoy this and support James Durbin. Go buy his CD on CD Baby, Riot on Sunset. We'll have links up to it in today's show notes on talkingmetal.com. All right. Thank you.
Hey, this is Mark Striegel, and on the line we have James Durbin, and he is traveling while we speak to him, which I guess that means, James, your van, which I heard broke down, is now repaired. Is that correct?
No, that is completely incorrect. my van, I had to sign over the title in Vancouver, Washington, to have it towed to a graveyard.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, the motor completely died. The belt wasn't turning with the motor. It was just going boom, boom, boom. And I left a few footprints in that door.
Oh, man.
But we are now, with the help of the Enterprise car rental people out in Vancouver, Washington, we are now in two vehicles caravanning the rest of the 2 weeks of tour.
Oh, wow. So that was your personal van? You owned that van?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so that was highly unfortunate that that's the way that it had to go down. But, you know, we really have the heavens to thank that we were right next to an exit in an actual town and not about an hour ago out in the desert.
Right. Right. Well, yeah. So, sorry to hear that, but let's talk about better things. How about your new record? It sounds fantastic. Riot on Sunset. I want to hear all about this record. I want to hear who's playing on it. I want to talk about the songs. Let's start off there. Who plays on this record with you? Because it sounds like you got some fantastic musicians backing you up.
Yeah, absolutely. I played a lot on it. I wrote 7 of the 12 songs on there, solely my own compositions, a few co-writes, and then two songs that were written by outside writers. A couple of the songs, some of the instrumentation was from the original demos, so guys like Tommy English, who's a big producer in L.A., as well as PBA Yello, who is the current bass player and keyboard player for 30 Seconds to Mars.
Oh, okay.
In addition, I played a bunch of bass, a bunch of guitars, rhythm, and lead. And then my current touring band, is consisting of Mark Putnam on lead guitar. He played all the beautiful solos on songs like City of Nightmares, the song Beautiful, Something Living, 19, Keeps Me Alive, all those killer songs. There's my bass player, DJ Patton, and then my drummer, Eric Peterson. We tracked all the drums live, except for, I believe, the one song that we did provide the track to the demo, which was for We Are the Unknown.
Okay, cool. And are those the guys, the touring guys with you that are in the SmackDown video?
Yes, exactly.
Cool. And the record, again, SmackDown, great tune, really digging that. But I wanted to go to the title track, which starts off kind of more mellow acoustic. It kind of builds as it goes on. I think it's a great tune. It's called Riot on Sunset. Again, the title track off the record. What's the story? What is the Riot on Sunset?
The song Riot on Sunset is directly inspired by the youth riots in the 1960s on the Sunset Strip. Basically, kids just wanted to stay out late and sing and let their freak flag fly and just, you know, it's just kids. And so they put these curfew riots on all these kids. And I wrote the song when I was 21 in my bedroom at my mom's house, the bedroom I grew up in. And
wow.
It just came from this place of need and this place of, why are we told that we can't do things that make so much sense? You know, music is medicine. Music is healing. You know, it has so many healing powers to it. So if kids are listening to music and wanting to, you know, lose themselves in the music, did you take that away from them? And that's just, you know, that's just evil. So I wrote that song, and true to its potential and to its subject matter, I tried putting that song on my both of my previous albums, which I was with a label at the time, and both times they said, you know, this song isn't good enough, we don't like it. Or,
really?
Or on the other hand, would you mind changing the song to Riot on Main Street? Everybody has a Main Street in their town, and maybe more people will get it that way. And, you know, I really stuck to my guns with this song. because it just comes from a real place, you know, and it has so much history and heart to it for me. And then when it came time for me to get my release papers and walk away from my record deal, they kept the song and they wouldn't give it back. So we fought really hard for it, and thank God we got it back. And as soon as that happened, I already knew what I was naming my album.
Right, absolutely. I mean, the Sunset Strip, just in rock history, just such an important place going back to the 60s, like you said. And, you know, for me growing up as a kid, I'm a lot older than you, but, you know, the Sunset Strip was just where all my heroes hung out, from Van Halen to, you know, Motley Crue and Rat and, you know, Guns N' Roses, and so many great bands that were such an influence on me come out of that. So when I heard Riot on Sunset, I kind of thought, oh, it must kind of be about that era of the Sunset Strip. You're telling me it's not. It's about the riots that happened earlier. But talking about the 80s era of Sunset Strip, how influential was that scene on you?
Oh, highly. very noticeably on this album. Actually, when I wrote that song, Riot on Sunset, I'm fronting a band called Hollywood Stars. We like to kind of pay homage to that era. And, you know, the way that we dress, the way that we kind of portrayed that. And growing up in Santa Cruz, California, one of the bands that I had to look up to was a local band by the name of Dirty Penny. And before that, they were known as Antidote. They were started as a Poison tribute band. And then they started to play their own songs, and they, you know, worked their way up and were, you know, kicking their hands on the independent scene. They played the early Rocklahoma and whatnot.
Oh, so okay.
There's this group, this large number of people out in Oklahoma that all have these Dirty Penny tattoos, which I've brought. So it was really cool. '80s music has always been very influential, from classic rock to even stemming earlier to the '70s with early Creed, and of course Jeff Zeppelin and Sabbath, right, and Deep Purple. And, you know, all the masters.
Yeah, the godfathers of it all, definitely. What was Aaron Lee's involvement in the record? And he's a friend of mine, and he's the guy who actually connected me with Ken and you. So, what was his involvement with the record?
So Aaron is a really, really great friend of my co-producer and mixer and engineer and master of the whole album, Father Rick Vieira, owner of Rocker Studios in Santa Cruz. And so we were working, you know, we were really working our asses off, and we ended up setting a date, and then wanted to end up actually having to move that release date sooner, which required just more, you know, more work. I mean, with the amount of songs and then the amount of time that we had to finish. And Rick brought up Aaron, and Aaron has, as you know, Aaron has been the bass tech for Y&T and fell through with their bassist, and now he is the bass player of Y&T, as well as other things. He's a kick-ass mixer and bass player and keyboard player. So I had Aaron mix two of the songs. I believe Aaron Lee mixed five songs on the album.
Oh, cool.
And Rick mixed the other seven, I believe, something like that. And Aaron played keyboards on it, played keys on the last two songs, Sunday Is Gone and Keep Me Alive.
Excellent, excellent, cool. Yeah, Aaron's a great guy, and Frank Hannon does a lot of work with Frank Hannon too, so talented dude for sure. So the we're going to hear some music off the record in just a bit, guys, but before we let James go, I just kind of wanted to revisit a little of your past, James, because, you know, back, I guess it was like 2011, when you were on American Idol, you know, when it was still just booming in the ratings, 55 million viewers or more on some of those episodes, which is just insane. You did such a cool thing for the metal community, because you brought metal to that show, which in a way that it had never been done before, and exposed it once again to the masses. And I wanted to just hit upon some of that. Like, how did the whole thing with Priest end up happening? I know you covered one of their songs, but then later in the season, you actually got Judas Priest to appear on American Idol with you. Can you talk about how that all came about?
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of a long story. I'll try and short just as best as I can. And stop if I ramble. So it came down to the top 24, which was when the 12 girls, 12 guys performed on separate nights. And so we were looking at the song list to try and figure out what we were each going to sing. So I perused the list over and over, back and forth, through and through, and didn't really see anything that I liked. And the last time I was just kind of combing through with a fine-tooth comb and saw that You Got Another Thing Coming was on there. And of course, I love just music in general, and I know that Rob Halford's voice and mine could, so that I could get that and push that forward. And I was thinking, well, this is awesome. This is going to be so cool. I guarantee Judas Priest has never been sung on Idol. I wanted to do things then. You know, because there's been other rock singers on the show. There's people that also sing high and have a large, wide range as I chose. And what can I do to set myself apart from them? I wanted to not sing those things alone. So found the Priest song, took it to the producers, and they were like, Judas Priest. Oh, I didn't even know we had Judas Priest on this list. And wow. It was just being kind of funny and kind of weird about it. But, you know, they let me do it, and I rehearsed it a bunch of times. I was like, no, we got to get the guitars heavy, really heavy, real big, turn the drive up, turn the gain up, like listen to the record, and then double it.
Yeah.
And so we did it, and it got a great response, and immediately I got a response from Rob Halford and their management. And so I kept singing and kept it, you know, week after week, and at a certain point, the producers come to you and say, you know, we'd like to have you perform individually with a guest artist or band. And so they came to me with Def Leppard or Judas Priest. And I'm not a huge Def Leppard guy. And right. Also, I didn't think any of their music on the show. So immediately it was Judas Priest. So fast forward to the finale. They got me to the stage and to do rehearsal and to meet the band. And they were all amazing. Unfortunately, it was right after KK Downing had quit. He quit like right. A week earlier, but then they brought in Richie Faulkner, and Richie is just head over heels. She's a beast. She's incredible.
Yeah.
So it was really cool. It was Richie's first show with Priest was live on American Idol.
Really? Okay. I love Richie, and I think he's added, especially live, added such an energy to the band. I didn't realize that was his first show with Priest. That's awesome. Awesome.
Yeah, it was really good.
Cool. Now another cool thing another cool thing you did while you were on the show was bringing out Zakk Wylde and doing Sammy Hagar's Heavy Metal, which I thought was just another awesome moment on the show. How did that come about? Did you know Zakk beforehand, or was that your first time meeting him?
So that's another great story. So Chris Jericho, WWE's Chris Jericho,
sure.
Among other things, was on Dancing with the Stars at the same time. Dancing with the Stars filmed in the exact same building as American Idol.
Wow.
Big, giant building at CBS Studios. On Beverly behind the Grove in L.A., there's one building and it has two sides to it. So if the sides were divided by a hallway and the Idol people never went over to the dancing side, the dancing people never came over to the Idol side. But I think it was right when I had done Judas Priest. So it was right when Hulk Hogan came out, not long after that. And Jericho found out that I was a wrestling fan, and so we started hanging out. We went to a couple concerts together, had dinner together a couple times, and then it came time for Songs for Movies Week, and I kind of had this struggle and this pull with the on-set mentor at the time, which was Jimmy Iovine from Interscope
Records.
Right,
right. Well, James? Hello, are you there?
We won't back down again. the riot on Sunset. With the riot, oh, 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 well, we may be young, but we are strong. It doesn't matter that we dance to a different drum, 'cause we're gonna carry on. Well, this is a war we've already won. We are the
just heard was the title track, Riot on Sunset, by James Durbin. Go pick that up on CD Baby or on iTunes. We'll have links up in today's show notes. Support us with a PayPal donation, and also use our Amazon links, buy a t-shirt in the merch section. That's it for today, guys. Again, sorry that interview cut off abruptly at the end. I feel bad about that, but we are pretty much done. We'll have to have James back at some point to finish that Zach Wilde story. Cool. All right, guys, that's it for today. And here is a little Judas Priest, a song James once covered on American Idol. This one he didn't do with Judas Priest. He did it with the American Idol band. But it was what kind of later prompted James and Rob Halford and Judas Priest and American Idol to all come together and perform live on American Idol. So here we go. Another Thing Coming off Screaming for Vengeance by Judas Priest.